Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Yamuna Tira Bana Chariyamuna Yamuna Tira Bana Chariyamuna Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopichanda Ballabha Giribhara Chariya Gopichanda Ballabha Giribhara Chariya Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Yamuna Tira Bana Chari Yamuna Yamuna Tira Bana Chari Yamuna Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Jai Nitya Vishnu Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pari Vrajakacharya Ashto Tarasata Shri Shri Madhis Divine Grace Sabhai Charanada Vindu Bhaktam Vishnu Vishnupad Iskon and BBD Foundacharya. Savior of the whole world, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jaya Nitya Vishnu Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pari Vrajakacharya Ashto Tarasata Shri Shri Madhis Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaja Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki. Nama Charger Shihari Dastakuri Ki. Premza Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Garad Harasi Sadi Guru Bhakti Vrinda Ki. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Go Govindana Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Go Vadana Ki. Braj Bhumi Shivindama Dama Ki. Navadip Maya Pur Dama Ki. Purushtam Chetra. Jagannath Puri Dham ki, Ganga mai ki, Jamuna mai ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Tulasi Maharani ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai Go Premanandi. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the devotees. All glorious lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Garanga. All glorious to Sri Prabhupada ki, Jan Vishwanai. Krishna Sambhadi, 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 Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Itam Gajendra Sa Yadapa Sankatam Itam Gajendra Sa Yadapa Sankatam Itam Gajendra Sa Yadapa Sankatam Pranasya Dehi Vivasho Yadrichaya Pranasya dehi vivasho yadrichaya. Pranasya dehi vivasho yadrichaya. Itam gajendra sa yadapa sankatam. Pranasya dehi vivasho yadrichaya. Aparayan atma. Vimokshane chiram aparayanatma vimokshane chiram aparayanatma vimokshane chiram dadyau imam buddhim atapya padyata Dadya vimam buddhim atabhya padyata. Dadya vimam buddhim atabhya padyata. Aparayanatma vimoksha nechiram. Dadya vimam buddhim atabhya padyata. Itam gajendra sa yadapa sankatam. Pranasya dehi vivasho yadrichaya. Aparayanatma vimoksha nechiram. Dadya vimam buddhim atabhya padyata. Itam gajendra sa yadapa sankatam. Pranasya dehi vivasho yadrichaya. Aparayanatma vimokshane chiram. Dadya vimam buddhim atabhya padyata. Sayadapa Sankatam Sayadapa Sankatam Vaishnavis? Gajendra Sera Pasankatam Pranashadehi Vivasoya Rishaya Adya Vimam Bodhim Abhavada Etam. In this way, Gajendra, the king of elephants. Sa, he. Yada, when. Apa, attained. Sankatam, such a dangerous position. Pranasya, of life. Dehi, who is embodied. Vivasha, circumstantially helpless. Yadrishaya, by the will of providence. Aparayan, being unable. Atma vimokshane, to save himself. Chiram, for a long time. Dadyao, began to think seriously. Imam, this. Buddhim, decision. Ata, thereupon. Abhyapadyata, reached. Often we see that buddhi is translated as intelligence also, so you'll see that the decision he made was quite an intelligent decision. Translation: when the king of the elephants saw that he was under the clutches of the crocodile by the will of providence and, being embodied and circumstantially helpless, could not save himself from danger, he was extremely afraid of being killed. He consequently thought for a long time and finally reached the following decision. Responsively, please. When the king of the elephants saw that he was under the clutches of the crocodile by the will of providence and being embodied and circumstantially helpless, could not save himself from danger. He was extremely afraid of being killed. He consequently thought for a long time and finally reached the following decision. Purport: everyone in the material world is engaged in a struggle for existence. Everyone tries to save himself from danger. But when one is unable to save himself, if he is pious, he then takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.16. Chaturvidha bhajante mams jana sukritin arjuna ato gigasu artati jnanicha bhaktara shava. Four kinds of pious men, namely one who is in danger, one who is in need of money, one who is searching for knowledge, and one who is inquisitive, begin to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to be saved or to advance. The king of elephants, in his condition of danger, decided to seek shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. After considerable thought, he intelligently arrived at this correct decision. Such a decision is not reached by a sinful man. Therefore, In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that those who are pious, Sukriti, can decide that it is a dangerous or awkward condition, decide that in a dangerous or awkward condition, one should seek shelter, of the lotus feet of Krishna. So, this is a really interesting pastime, and there's a lot of instruction here for us in the material world. And it's the same with the case with all these stories in the Bhagavatam, how they're not just random stories that are arbitrarily selected, but actually they have significant meaning. And we see in this situation, Gajendra, he's been cavorting with his friends, his elephant associates, his wives, etc., in the lake near the Trikuta mountain. This garden was a garden that was constructed by, I think, Varuna. And in his endeavor to enjoy with his associates, with his lady friends, etc., he created a disturbance for this very powerful crocodile. And so this crocodile became angry and attacked him and grabbed him by the leg. And Gajendra was very powerful, and he was fighting with this crocodile for how long? Anyone remember? 1,000 years. Yeah, 1,000 years he was fighting. Very, very long time, at least in our estimation. But this is in the heavenly realm, so it's a little bit different in terms of the time. Demigods live much longer than we live. But because he was fighting in the water, which is the natural element of the crocodile, not his natural element, the land is his natural element. And because he was fighting in the water for such a long time, even though he's fighting very powerfully, he became weakened. And in this weakened condition, he was starting to lose the fight. And he got to the point where he realized he was helpless, that he had no possibility of actually winning the fight. So what did he do? He called out to the Lord. He surrendered. And Prabhupada's making the point here, this is because he was actually pious. And Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse that because he realized it was his karma, then he was blessed with, automatically he gained intelligence. And so this is a really interesting situation, because we see in this material world everyone's suffering at one level or another. Everyone's suffering. But how many people accept that this is due to my past pious and impious deeds? You find that it's very rare. And there's an interesting verse in the Bhagavatam where it discusses this situation in the 10th canto, I think it's chapter 14, where it's talking about how the living entity, they're going about their activities, and they're suffering so many reverses, if you like, in life. But they accept this is due to their past activities, pious and impious activities, but all the while patiently suffering the reactions of their past activities, then actually rendering service to the Supreme Person of God, they actually become eligible for liberation, because it's their rightful claim. It has the word there, sadoya bak, which means like inheritance. So someone who understands that what I'm experiencing in this material world is my karma, then they don't blame others. But you'll see the tendency in this material world, if something happens to us, we tend to blame someone else. And I had this experience the other day. I was talking with a devotee, and he was talking about, in his preaching, how he experienced all these different difficulties, and he was blaming so many other people. I think, but I'm thinking to myself, you've been a devotee for many years, and you don't get the philosophy. I mean, you may read it in the books, and you'll be able to repeat it in class, but do we actually live the philosophy? And that's what these books and these pastimes, that they're instructing us. This is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. This is what we need to imbibe. This is what we need to understand. And not just to understand, but to live this philosophy. And we see here Gajendra, even though he's suffering an extreme difficulty. I mean, none of us has ever had to experience anything quite like that, where, you know, someone grabs us by the leg with their mouth and starts to drag us into the water and try to drown us. But in other ways, we're experiencing that every day. The material nature is trying to is grabbing us by the scruff of the neck and pulling us down into this material world. And we see here how Gajendra, he didn't feel the need to say, oh, it's because of them. You know, my wives, they forced me to come here or whatever. He doesn't see that. He doesn't see it like that. He sees this is due to my karma. This is due to my past activities. And that's a position of piety, because they're understanding how things work in this material world. Krishna explains this in the 8th chapter of the Gita, how the living entity, due to their past, you know, whatever state of consciousness they remember at the moment of death, and according to their karma, then they take a particular birth. And someone who's pious, someone who's a little bit intelligent, you know, pious indicates intelligent. So someone who's a little bit pious, a little bit intelligent, can understand that due to my past deeds, due to my past misdeeds, I'm suffering in this life. There's no inclination to want to blame anyone else. They just understand that because of what I've done in the past, therefore I'm now experiencing difficulty. So this is a very essential point of the Krishna conscious philosophy. And this is also being explained by Krishna to Arjuna. That, you know, don't think that, you know, you're experiencing difficulty in this material world because of others, but actually you're experiencing difficulty in this material world because of what you've done in the past. Your activities determine where you're going to go. Your karma, your guna and karma determine where you'll go in your next life. And so as a result of guna and karma, one takes on a particular birth in a particular family with particular parents, you know, a particular type of body, whether it's a human body or an animal body or a tree plant body or whatever. And what happens then is we take birth, and as a result of the association in the family we have, the parents, the, you know, siblings, etc., one's karma starts to manifest in that environment. And as a result of that association, so a result of our past guna and karma, we develop a particular nature. And according to that, we act in a particular way to particular stimulus. And this is exactly what's happening here, is Gajendra's being attacked by the crocodile. And of course, he could just blame someone else and say, oh, it's because of them, you know, because of so-and-so that I'm suffering like this. But actually, he doesn't do that. He thinks about it, and this is the point that's being explained here in this verse. He thinks about this for a long time. He really sort of gave it a lot of thought, and then he realized, actually, I'm suffering because of what I've done in the past. This is an intelligent person. An unintelligent person is just going to turn around and blame someone else. You know, oh, I'm suffering because of that. Oh, because I was born in a bad family. Oh, because of this. Oh, because I was born in Australia. I was born here. I was born there. But this has got very little to do with it. This is actually just the external manifestation of your karma. You know, because when we look at it from the perspective of it being someone else's fault, this means we feel there's imbalance in this world. You know, why do bad things happen to good people and stuff like that? You know, or why has this person got so much wealth and I have nothing? Always trying to look at, you know, why others are more fortunate, why I'm less fortunate, not understanding the balance that's there in this world. And actually, this is explained in the Ishapanishad, where he explains that everything in this material world is perfect and complete. Why is that? Because it emanates from the perfect and complete person. Krishna himself, he's perfect and complete. And therefore, his creation is also perfect and complete. There's no imbalance. Gajendra understood that. He understood that everything was in balance. And there's an interesting... it's like a prayer I can't remember the exact name. It says Desiderata or something like that. And years ago, someone put it to music. It was kind of interesting, and it was a prayer that was found in a cave or something on an ancient scroll. And the basic one of the points that's made in this prayer is everything in the universe is going on as it should. There's no imbalance. And that's what we have to see, and this is the point that's being brought out in this pastime. And there's several points, but one of the points that's being brought out in this pastime is how Gajendra is seeing that everything in the creation is going on in the way it should. This crocodile has attacked me by the will of providence. What does will of providence mean? It means karma. The crocodile has attacked me because of my karma. I'm in this situation by my karma, where I cannot extricate myself from this situation. I cannot. The crocodile's too powerful. And it's the same for us. You know, we cannot, on our own, extricate ourselves from this situation, this material world. We can't, you know, just say, okay, right, I'm going to conquer Maya. We just can't do that. And it's only when we take shelter of Krishna. And he mentions this in the seventh chapter of the Gita. Devashi, what is it? Devashi Gurumayi, Mamamaya Tiratyaya. That this divine energy of mind consisting of three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome. Practically speaking, you can't overcome it. But one who surrenders unto me can easily cross beyond it. Krishna makes this, you know, point. And there's in the 10th canto, this chapter 14, this is, Lord Brahma's praying to the Lord. And there's many, many wonderful verses in this chapter 14. And in one of the verses, he mentions that he explains how the material. I said, Tatenikvam Susumakshu Bhudhani. No, this is a different verse. I can't remember the verse right now. But basically, he's explaining that the material world is very, very difficult to overcome. It's like a vast ocean. He uses this phrase, how it's a vast ocean. But if one surrenders to Krishna, then that ocean shrinks to like the water in a hoofprint of a calf. So the point is like to try to conquer the material nature, to try to control the material nature, is practically speaking not possible. I try to avoid using the word impossible because Prabhupada says a word in a fool's dictionary. I don't be seen as a fool. But so the point is that to overcome the material nature is extremely difficult on our own. But if we surrender to Krishna, and this is one of the points that's being demonstrated in this pastime, if we surrender to Krishna, it becomes very easy. And you'll see what happens here is Gajendra, he surrenders to Krishna, he snatches up a lotus flower, he remembers a prayer from his previous life, and he offers this lotus flower with a prayer to Krishna. And then Krishna comes in the form of Vishnu and cuts off the elephant's head, the crocodile's head, who was actually King Indrajumna, who had been cursed in a previous life. So it's the same for us. It's the same for anyone who takes shelter of Krishna. And as Prabhupada's quoting this verse here from the seventh chapter of the Gita, this Chaturvidya Bhajante Mam, he's saying that four kinds of pious, sukriton, four kinds of pious people surrender to me. One who's in distress, one who's seeking wealth, one who's seeking knowledge, and one who's searching after the Absolute. And when we take shelter of Krishna and we actually surrender to Krishna, then Krishna, he comes and he saves us. And so, again, we see also how Gajendra, he's like the typical jiva in this material world. He's trying to enjoy, he's trying to swim in the ocean or the lake of the material nature and enjoy, and he's squirting water over his family members and his wives and his girlfriends and all this sort of stuff, and he's, oh, look at me, I'm having such a wonderful time. And this is the living entity in this material world. That's what they're having. Oh, look at me, you know, I'm having such a great time here. Like pigs in swill. That's what they're like, because you can't actually enjoy this material world because it's not ours to enjoy it. Krishna's the controller, Krishna's the enjoyer, Krishna's the proprietor. But still, we're trying to enjoy that which is not us, that which is not ours, with something which is not us. We're in such a confused condition. You know, we're thinking we're the material body, and we're thinking we're the proprietor. We think we're the enjoyer. But Krishna says in the Gita, in a really interesting verse at the end of the fifth chapter, this Bhaktarangyakatapasam Sarvalokamaheshwaram Sutiram Sarvabhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantim Rishati, that he says that I am the enjoyer, I am the proprietor, and I am the only friend. But we see in the material nature, we're trying to become the proprietor of everything. Everything we touch, we try to take control of it. And especially you'll see with young children, what do they do? Even if it's not something that's theirs, they'll pick up and say, mine. Straight away we have this tendency to try to own, to control everything. But actually someone who's intelligent understands that everything belongs to God. That everything belongs to the Supreme Person of God. But one who's intelligent understands that Krishna allows us to use these things, but still we should remember that he's the proprietor. And this is the point from this verse of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada called this verse the peace formula. Because if everyone remembers, just look at what's going on in Israel or in Ukraine and places like that. If everyone remembered this point, that Krishna's the only proprietor, Krishna's the only enjoyer, and Krishna's the only friend, there would be no war. Because what's there to fight over? It belongs to Krishna. But because we forget these essential points, then there's so much conflict in this material world. So, you know, Prabhupada's making this point here that when one's pious, one will surrender to Krishna. Well, not always, but you know, when you have a pious disposition, your proclivity is more inclined to surrender to Krishna. And because of Gajendra's piety, because of a past life, even though he'd taken birth as an elephant, because of his piety, he was able to, in a difficult situation, to remember Krishna. But also we can understand this is the mercy of the Lord on him. Because it's only by, you know, Krishna says in the 15th chapter of the Gita, Savasya Chaham Ridhisana Vishnu Mata Smriti Jnanam Aponam Cha. That by my arrangement, I enable living entities to remember me and forget me. Yeah. From me come knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness, he says. So the fact that, because Gajendra's in an elephant body, right? And we look at, you know, all living entities in this material world have been going up and down. It says in the Brahmanda, Brahmadikona, Bhagavanajaya, Guru, you know, that they're going up and down through so many different species of life. But only by the mercy of Krishna does one get contact with a devotee who can then give him mercy so they can understand Krishna. So it's only by the mercy of Krishna that we can remember these things, because we're covered in ignorance. When a living entity is so deep in ignorance that they've got an animal body, what can they remember? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that's all it is. But by Krishna's mercy, he was able to remember past life. And we see the same in the story of Jad Bharat when he became a deer. By Krishna's mercy, he was able to remember his past life. So these extraordinary pastimes are there to educate us or to help us to understand the actual situation of living in this material world, and how, it, just like if you look at the story of Jad Bharat, you know, he became attached to you know, when he was in the form of Bharat Maharaj, due to inattention, he became attached to a deer. And we see here Gajendra, due to an offense, he took the body of an elephant. And as an elephant, he's trying to enjoy the material world. But the actual situation of living entity is you cannot enjoy this material. We think we can. This is part of the illusion. The Maya covers us into thinking we're having a great time here. But the actual reality is we're suffering like anything. But we're so covered over by ignorance, we don't see how we're suffering in this material world. That's the nature of ignorance. And there's an interesting verse in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, I think it's chapter 7, where Anata Upamam Shakshad, I can't remember the whole verse, but basically it's saying how the sufferings of the living entity are superfluous to him. You know, so even though we're experiencing so much suffering, you know, it's only connected to the body, it's not connected to us. It's superfluous to us. And if we identify with the body, what happens is we identify with the suffering that comes to the body. But if we realize, if we realize we're not the body, then we understand that this suffering is superfluous. And then that goes back to the verse I was mentioning from the 10th canto, this Sadoyabak, this Tatte Nukampam Susmiksh, how the living entity, if they just patiently suffer the reactions of their past misdeeds all the while, you know, with great determination and faith, worshipping Krishna, then they become eligible to depart from this material world and go back to Godhead. By this determination to serve Krishna, and also by the determination not to identify with the body, not to identify with the sufferings of the body, but to understand, I'm Krishna's eternal servant. And this is what's being demonstrated here in this pastime, and many, many pastimes in the Bhagavatam, showing us that, you know, don't try to enjoy this material world. This is not what we're here for. An intelligent person understands, this is not what I'm here for. I'm here to understand who I am. I'm here to reawaken my lost relationship with Krishna. I'm here to give my life and my existence to the service of Krishna. And if we develop that intelligence and we apply ourselves in this process, then this realization will develop, and we'll start to understand more and more who we actually are. And along with that developing, we're developing this awareness of who we really are, then this connection with the material nature becomes weakened. And in the connection in a weakened state, we can break that connection. But it's only through the mercy of Krishna, through the mercy of advanced devotees, particularly spiritual master, etc., that one can actually gain this realization and gain this separation from material nature. And so, yeah, the point here is like with the Kajendra is don't waste your time trying to enjoy in this material world, because you will be attacked by the crocodile of material nature. You will be dragged down. You know, this is the two potencies that Maya has. She throws the living entity down into the material nature, and she covers them over. And this is what happened. Is Gajendra, he was thrown into an elephant body. And he's completely bewildered, completely covered over. I mean, you know, what a state of ignorance to be in that huge, big, like a tiny little jiva, in that huge, big body with that big, thick skin and all that sort of stuff. You know, just completely bewildered, thinking that I'm the king of the elephants. And look at me, I'm so powerful. I've got so many, you know, beautiful, you know, wives and girlfriends and things like that. And it took a very traumatic situation for him to understand his situation. And it's very similar to there's an interesting story in the third canto Prabhupada tells about when Indra became a pig. So this, the same kind of situation is due to his offenses to his spiritual master. He was cast down into the material world in a pig's body. He became completely bewildered. He thought he had a very wonderful situation. And it's only when by the mercy of Lord Brahma, see, again, by the mercy of a great devotee, that he was able to extricate him from himself from that situation. So we're in the same situation. We've been cast down in this material world. We're bewildered by the influence of the material nature, and by the mercy of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, we've come to this position of being able to realize that actually I'm not this material body. Well, at least I can't say realize, but we're in this situation where we have the knowledge that we're not this body, and by practicing the process of devotional service, we can escape from this very, very difficult situation. Duratyaya, as it says in the Gita, duratyaya, a very, very difficult situation. You cannot extricate yourself from this situation on your own. You need help. And therefore, we take shelter of the spiritual master. Therefore, we take shelter of the Vaishnavas, and we take shelter of the scriptures. So yeah, it's quite an amazing pastime. Any questions, comments at all? Yeah, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class, Maharaj. So yesterday I was in the city, and I saw this man on the corner, a homeless man.
Sorry?
I saw a homeless man on the corner.
Yeah.
And he was sitting there, his very filthy body, And he had like a little Bible in front of him, and he was praying really intensely on the corner. And I was thinking, like, this person, I don't know what he does, but it seemed usually like people on the street, they're doing like sinful activities, you know. But he's still praying to God, you know. So, yeah, I was just trying to figure out with this verse, you know, how you were saying that the pious people, they take shelter of the Lord. So he must have some piety, huh, to be able to do
that. No doubt, no doubt. He must have some degree of piety to be able to take shelter of the Lord. And it's very difficult to understand the situation of each living entity because you just don't know how he wound up in that situation. Was it by circumstance? Was it by choice? You know, it's very hard to understand how people wind up in certain situations. Just like sometimes you see with devotees that they'll take certain types of vows where they'll take a vow of poverty or they'll take a vow of mona brat or so many different things, or they'll just live. You know, there's a story of, who was it? Rishabhdev, yeah? When he actually achieved his realization, he just took a vow, if you like, where he didn't try to, he lived like a serpent, basically, and just laid on the ground and just whatever came of its own accord, he just accepted that. You know, so we see that sometimes, you know, great souls, because this person could be a great soul, you just don't know. You know? And they just take these vows just to live in a particular type of way so they can focus more on the Supreme Person. I was reflecting on this morning. It's like, you know, right now with my body, it's still working, but it's giving me challenges. And I was reflecting on some of the great souls we see in our movement, like Giriraj, Maharaj, and devotees like that, how they've had massive sort of challenges physically, you know, health challenges. And then what they do is they choose to go more internal. So, you know, I was reflecting, well, you know, if I have a heart attack or something like that, what will I do? Will I start to go more internal? I sure hope so. You know, give up all this external sort of like management type stuff and things like that and just you know, try to focus more on the Holy Name. Because when these things happen to us, it's like a warning. You know, your time's up. You're going to have to sort of leave soon. So, but, you know, like when these things happen, it's kind of like that's for a very fortunate living entity when you have a warning. And Prabhupada makes this point in relation to Parikshit Maharaj. He knew he had 7 days left. We don't even know if we've got 7 minutes left. You know, we could be sitting here, you know, just, you know, Bhagavatam class, plane flies overhead, drops an engine, comes through the roof, and we're all dead. That happens. You know, a few years ago, there was a plane flying from Melbourne to Sydney, propeller plane. One of the propellers came off. I just went, you know, can you imagine that thing just spinning, how fast it's spinning, going through the air? Fortunately, it landed in the bush and just you know, messed up the trees. But if it had gone through a house or apartment building or something like that, my gosh, people would have been chopped up like anything. You know, so you just don't know. Padam padam yadvi padam. There's so much danger at every step in this material world. So, you know, every opportunity we have, every impetus we have, we should use that to serve Krishna, to surrender to Krishna more and more. That's the direction, but, you know, the practically doing it, it's not always easy. Because, you know, there's so many distractions, there's so many, you know, deep-seated desires in our heart, you know, to control, to enjoy, to all this sort of stuff. So, but, you know, these stories in the Bhagavatam, so they just help us to understand more and more our position in this material world and also give us direction. It's just Chikajendra. He's just thinking of Lord, oh, this is my karma. Please, my Lord, accept my prayer. Yeah. It's the same for us. So understand what's going on in this material world. You're suffering here in this material world because of what you did. It's got nothing to do with anyone else. But so often we see that we will blame someone else for what I'm experiencing. It's happening to you. You must be the cause. It's not happening to somebody. If someone else was the cause, it would happen to them. And then one time, Prabhupada was having a conversation with a gentleman called Peter Burwash, who was a tennis coach, very popular, well-known coach. And he said, don't hate the instrument of your karma. So someone does something to you, except this is happening to me because of what I've done in the past. Maybe I did something to them in a previous life. Don't blame them. Don't hate them because of what happens. Just realize this is happening to you. It couldn't happen to you if it wasn't your karma. It couldn't happen if you weren't due. If we actually believe that things happen that I don't deserve, it means we think that God's incompetent, that he can't create a balanced system. Because if we look here in the material world, everything is in perfect balance. Everything. And even though, you know, the men are, you know, the human beings are doing so many things to disturb the balance of the material world, still it rectifies itself. So, yeah, we just need to try to accept that Krishna's in charge of the creation and he everything's perfect. And just, you know, use whatever happens in us as an impetus to surrender to Krishna more and more. Yeah. Prabhu.
Hey, Rishabhu, you mentioned about the possibility of material enjoyment, is that it can land something similar to the pastime that we're reading here, and but you know, not all the material or efforts for material enjoyment land in similar kind of a conclusion, and so we always have that hope that, you know, maybe ours will be a different scenario.
But they do land in a similar conclusion, it's just we don't see it. This is obvious, that's all. But you know, just like here we are in Melbourne, right, and it's 10 degrees outside. That's extreme suffering, you know, for some. For some people, they come up from Wollumbar and the humidity is like, you know, 80-90%. That's extreme suffering for them. So we're always landing in these situations of extreme difficulty. But we just don't see it, because Maya Prahita Gyana, our senses just covered over, and you think, wow, this is such a nice position. I mean, you look at the story that I mentioned before, that story of Indra when he became a pig. Would you like to be a pig? You'd think that was, you know, from this perspective, you think, oh, how horrible. But he wasn't thinking like that. He was thinking, oh, this is so wonderful. Look at the, you know, I've got so much wonderful opportunity. Look at my beautiful wife, my beautiful children. Because there's that verse, actually I think it's the verse where this story is told. I don't remember the verse, but it describes how the living entity finds a particular type of satisfaction in no matter what species of life he appears in, and he's never averse to being in such a situation. So this is the workings of the material nature, covers over our intelligence, so that we think, whatever situation we wind in, this is, oh man, it doesn't get any better than this. This is the perfect situation. I mean, you know, I've got everything in the world to be envious of. You know, I've got a beautiful wife, I've got beautiful children, I've got a nice place to live. You know, and you could be living in the gutter. And you think, look at me, I've got, you know. And Prabhupada, one time he was traveling on a train in India, I've seen this, where he came across this man who had some burnt pieces of wood. And he was so attached to these burnt pieces of wood, he was holding on to them for his very life. That's the nature of the material nature. That's the workings of the material nature. She just covers us over into thinking that whatever situation I have in this material world is the best. It doesn't get any better than this. And you look, you know, the materialists, you know, they're drunk out of their brains. They can hardly walk. They're so intoxicated. And they think, wow, it doesn't get any better than this. I'm having such a great time. That's just the workings of material nature. You just don't see that you're suffering the same way as Gajendra. For us, it's very obvious, but for someone else in this situation, not. We're all caught in Maya's trap. Next time you take birth, think about it. It's a very difficult situation. But what happens to them is, oh, so beautiful. What a wonderful thing, the childbirth and all this. Oh my God, what a horrible thing, you know, to have to take birth, to enter into a womb and have to be squeezed out and take birth and go through all that difficulty. But the working of Maya, she puts this covering over it, so we think, oh, it's such a beautiful thing. That's the workings of Maya. She's expert at deluding the living entity into thinking they're enjoying when in fact they're suffering. And this is why, you know, we see Gajendra, because he's pious, he sees that. You know, if he wasn't pious, he would just continue fighting. And think, yes, I'm going to win. Yeah? And then when they win, they go, oh, great, I won. See how good I am. See how powerful I am. Yeah? That's the deluding of Maya. But because he was pious, because he took shelter of Krishna, he could see the suffering situation. And that's the same for us. If we take shelter of Krishna, we'll see how we're suffering in this material world. If we don't take shelter of Krishna, we'll just think, oh, that's just part of the fight. That's part of the enjoyment. I was wondering if you're going to ask a question.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the nice class. Prabhu, you mentioned we shouldn't like blame someone for the difficulty or the situation we're put in because it's our past karma. So Prabhu, sometimes we see someone actually hurts us, and then if we blame it on ourselves, wouldn't it be injustice to the person who's actually given us a suffering or put us in a difficult situation?
Can you back up a little bit?
Sometimes we see someone actually hurts us and puts us in a difficult situation. So by blaming ourselves, wouldn't it be injustice to the person who is...
And you get a reaction. Yeah. Everything you do in this world, except surrender to Krishna, you get a reaction. I was listening to a class the other day, Rupad Maharaj, a few months back now. Rupad Maharaj was explaining that even if you... When you're explaining scripture, when you're giving class in scripture, if you say something that's incorrect, you get a reaction. And so anything that's taking you away from Krishna or taking others away from Krishna, you get a reaction for it. So if you're blaming someone else for what happens to you, you get a reaction for that. So a devotee understands that whatever's happening to me is due to my past karma. My business is to serve Krishna. Anything else is just a distraction. And you'll see in the lives of the great souls, the great devotees, this is how they function. They don't blame anyone for anything. They just, even we saw, was it Vasudev Dutt, I think? He had sores on his body, and there was worms in the sores, and they'd fall off, and he'd pick them up and put them back on. Because he's thinking, this is their, my body is their food. What right do I have to deprive them of their food? He's so detached. I mean, I couldn't imagine that. I just couldn't imagine doing it, let alone having sores on my body. The first thing I'll do is go to a doctor and get some stuff put on it, But, he's just seeing that everything is going on due to the arrangement of the Lord or due to the arrangement of the external nature, and not trying to change the outcome of anything. See, that's the tendency of the conditioned soul, is to try to manipulate the material nature. Why? For what purpose? So I can enjoy. So I don't have to suffer more. Yeah. Always trying to manipulate the material nature to improve or to increase their enjoyment. So when you blame someone else for what's happening to you, that's like an intellectual gratification, because see, I'm not at wrong, they're wrong. I'm okay. And that's the tendency of the living entity, is to think that there's nothing wrong with me, it's everyone else. And that's kind of like an intellectual gratification, thinking that I'm perfect and everyone else is at fault. So yeah, don't blame others. It's happening to you because it's your karma.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much, Sri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Hari Om.